Whatever. The point is, things are thawing between Jack and Cody. Toby, things are thawing. Things are thawing between Jack and Toby.
Toby, Tony, Cody, whatever his name is. Get him out of here. I cannot care
any less about Toby, in case that is not crystal clear. Dawson, look, there's
your mom. Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson.
Continues to
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, at Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 419, Late, which originally aired on April 25th, 2001.
April 25th, 2001. I'm getting ready to graduate high school. You're probably getting ready for junior prom or something.
I was getting ready for nothing because I was a sophomore.
Oh, very well. Well, you were getting ready for summer. You're getting ready for Mother's Day. You're getting ready for something.
My birthday. My birthday is a week from today.
There you go.
My sweet 16.
Oh my God. My super sweet 16.
No one bought me a BMW.
Still to this day.
They were always getting BMWs on that show, I feel like.
I know. What is the Dawson's drink for episode 419 late?
We're drinking the False Alarm. It is Pisco, lemon juice, raspberry syrup, Campari, and champagne.
Delish.
You love a champagne cocktail.
I love a champagne cocktail. Champagne cocktails are kind of my thing.
As long as they're not in a coupe.
No. Shall I dive right into the recap of our first episode since the reunion?
We are hungover from that reunion, emotionally.
We are changed.
We are changed, yes.
We are born anew.
Please tell us what it's about.
Episode 419, Late, opens with Gretchen and Dawson settling in for a night of TV. Mitch is excited because it's his and Gail's last chance to have a night out and enjoy themselves before the baby comes. Gail is already 2 weeks overdue, and Mitch and Dawson joke that she looks huge and she's ready to pop. That's when Gail comes down the stairs and announces that she's in labor. Mitch rushes her to the hospital, leaving Dawson and Gretchen very excited. At the hospital, it turns out that Gail is only experiencing Braxton Hicks contractions. The doctor explains that if labor doesn't start within a few days, she has plans to induce, and if there's any issues due to Gail's age, then she'll perform a C-section. This news puts Mitch and Gail on edge, but the doctor suggests they try talking to the baby, since it could be something that brings on labor. This leads to a new discussion between the two of them as they realize that they have still not decided on a name. So meanwhile, Joey is frustrated that she can't reach Pacey and wonders if he's back from his fishing trip with his brother Doug. Bessie tells her that she's being neurotic and weird and a total nervous girlfriend and tries to distract her with the onesie that she got for Gail and the baby. But Joey has had enough and decides to go to Pacey and Gretchen's house. Dawson tells Gretchen about Gail's naming shower tomorrow, where everyone will submit names for the baby. Gretchen says she can make it, but the next day she has to hop a train and go to a job interview in Boston. She has an interview as an assistant lifestyles contributor at a magazine. Dawson is supportive, but he's thrown and admits that he didn't know that she was looking. When Gretchen asks how Dawson feels about long-distance relationships, Dawson isn't so sure. He'll be in California next year, and she points out that neither of them can ask the other one to move, so Dawson says it sounds like they're breaking up. Gretchen insists on focusing on tonight and having dinner with the man she loves. So Toby and Jack seem to be getting closer at the tutoring sessions, and Jack decides to cover for Toby one night and let him leave early. And while Toby is waiting for the bus, he is attacked. Joey asks Gretchen when Pacey will be back and quickly realizes that he isn't on a fishing trip. Gretchen admits that while Joey was in New York, Pacey was arrested. So Doug took him on a camping trip, not a fishing trip, to try to talk some sense into him. She warns Joey not to put any more pressure on Pacey, but Joey can't promise that. She needs to talk to him. Gretchen calls Joey selfish, and that's when Joey blurts out that the reason she needs to talk to him is because she might be pregnant. So the next day, the naming shower begins, and while the women celebrate, Dawson and Mitch retreat to the treehouse with their cigars. Mitch confesses that he's worried that their indecision about choosing a name means that they're not ready for the baby and what lies ahead. He reflects on how babies instantly bond with the mother, but the connection with the father comes much later, and a magical moment when the child is older and truly needs them. Dawson reassures Mitch that they will know the right name when they hear it, and Mitch takes comfort in this. Back at the shower, the women share their favorite baby names. Bessie recalls how Her and Joey's mother, Lillian, struggle during Joey's delivery because Joey just would not come. When Jen asks what finally brought Joey into the world, Bessie recounts in detail, graphic detail, how their mother had to call Joey's name. Josephine, Josephine, please come out. The memory unsettles Joey, who is already shaken up by the fact that she might be pregnant, and she excuses herself and slips away. Everyone notices. Dawson, meanwhile, confides in Mitch about Gretchen's job opportunity in Boston. Mitch tells him that if he and Gretchen are truly meant to be, then they will find their way back to each other just like he and Gail did. So meanwhile, Toby doesn't show up for tutoring, prompting Jack to go look for him. And when he finds him, Toby brushes it off, saying that he was mugged. But Jack keeps pressing him. Toby insists he just wants to be left alone. So when Jack gets with Jen, they put two and two together and realize that Toby wasn't mugged. He was attacked. Jack wants to stay out of it, but Jen tells him that he can't. Jack then brings the police to Toby's, and after some resistance, Toby finally agrees to file a report. Back at Dawson's, Bessie confronts Joey. Something is off with her. She's jumpy, she's emotional, and then Bessie sees the look on Joey's face and it clicks. She must be pregnant. Joey snaps at Bessie and Bessie says, you might want to watch who you're snapping at. You're going to need my support to get through this. And Joey says that she doesn't want any help from Bessie because look how Bessie's life turned out. Stung, Bessie accuses Joey of thinking she's better than her. She's always thought she was better than her. The argument is cut short when Graham screams that Gail is in labor and everyone rushes, and Mitch, Gail, Dawson, and Gretchen head for the hospital. At the hospital, Gretchen and Dawson talk about their relationship. Dawson asks her why she changed her mind about having sex the other night, and Gretchen admits that she doesn't want to get closer to him if he's just going to go to California and she's just going to go to Boston and they're going to break up. So Mitch then comes out with news. It's another false alarm. Gail is not in labor. So later, Joey goes to Gretchen's and the two of them talk about the possibility that Joey may be pregnant. Gretchen tells her that she thinks Pacey actually would be a great father and advises that if Joey is pregnant, she'll need a support system. And it should start with making peace with her sister. Gretchen then confesses to Joey that last year she was pregnant, but miscarried. And that's the reason she returned to Capeside. Meanwhile, Toby is giving Jack and the police officer the disturbing details of his attack. And Jack reassures him that it isn't his fault. Gail goes into active labor for real, and all the whispering among the doctors and the nurses leaves Mitch feeling very uneasy. Back at the house, Joey and Bessie finally make peace, and Joey tells her sister that she always took care of her, and she admires the life that Bessie has built for herself and her family. Bessie says she will always be there for Joey if Joey wants her. Joey takes a pregnancy test, and she, Jen, Grams, and Bessie then arrive at the hospital, where Dawson is spiraling. Joey comforts him as he reflects that not long ago he was in these same halls praying for someone to die, Mr. Brooks, and now he's praying for someone to be okay. They talk about Gretchen and Pacey, and Joey tells Dawson that sex doesn't always bring people closer. It only makes the good better and the bad worse. Now back with Jack and Toby, Jack shows up at Toby's once again and makes him return to tutoring. He tells Toby that they'll explain everything to the kids and admits that he had to stand up for him. Because someday, Jack will want to be holding hands with his boyfriend in public, and what happened to Toby shouldn't happen to him or anyone. So finally, everyone is told that Gail has given birth to a girl. Once inside the room, Gail explains that she called out the baby's name the same way that Joey's mom called out for her. And when they ask what she said, Gail says that she said Lillian. They reveal they've named the daughter after Joey's mother. Dawson holds baby Lillian and tells her that she couldn't have a better family. Joey later gets a call from Pacey, and she tells him that she did have a problem, but it's all handled. She assures him that nothing is wrong. He should just focus on himself. So when she asks Pacey where he is, Pacey says that he and Doug are fishing. Now, Joey knows this is a lie. They tell each other that they miss one another, but it's clear there's trouble ahead. This episode closes with Dawson returning home to find Gretchen. When he says that he thought she had a train to catch, she says the thing about trains is there's always another one. They choose to live in denial a little bit longer and share a kiss. And that's episode 419, Late.
So much happened in this episode.
So much happened. Another episode where there's like 200 scenes.
Yeah,
like some of the scenes were like 5 seconds long. And then it was bing, bang, boom, onto another.
Absolutely.
Gone are the days of having a 5-minute bantery scene.
Not even enough time for them to speak the language that they used to speak.
Who wrote and directed 419 Late?
And this episode was written by Jeffrey Stepakoff. He was most recently with us for episode 411, The Dow of Dawson. And he was first with us for episode 304, Home Movies. So if you want to hear more about his career as a whole, you can go back and listen to that episode. And this episode was directed by David Petrarca. He was most recently with us for episode 415, Four Stories. And his first episode with us was episode 410, Self-Reliance.
So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear more about him.
What if I don't? What if I don't?
Then don't listen. Nobody's forcing you.
Well, you know, this episode was a little wild, directing wise.
Yes, we will get into it.
What about guest cast shout out?
I'm going to give guest cast shout out to David Marshall Grant.
I hope it's the cop.
Playing Officer Sullivan. Yes.
He was good.
He was good. He actually really was good. When he came really on, good. I was like, huh, look at this guy.
I was like, where's the spinoff?
We need the Cape Side Youth Officer spinoff.
Yeah, forget Young Americans.
Seriously. Well, he apparently wasn't even credited in this episode. I don't understand how that happened, but here we are. Turns out David Marshall Grant is a writer, a producer, and an actor. He started as an actor. He has 52 acting credits. He started in 1979. He has had episodes of Chicago Hope, Alias, Party Down, A Million Little Things. Most recently, he was in Death and Other Details on Hulu last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Devil Wears Prada, Stepford Wives, The Rock. He has like tons of film and TV credits. He was a writer and producer on shows like Brothers and Sisters.
Oh my God.
Smash, Nashville, Code Black, and A Million Little Things. Yeah, he's doing it. He is in Hollywood, baby.
I love him. There was something about him I must have recognized him, but I really liked him a lot. And it's so funny, he said he started acting in 1979. This was 2001. Wow. He doesn't seem old enough for that.
Yeah. I wonder if he was a
baby, child. A child actor.
I don't know. He just felt, the character felt very grounded to me. It felt, I bought it instantly.
Instantly.
I was in. It was like the lady in the diner in Maine and the lady behind the counter at the high school. I bought it.
Oh, yeah. I totally bought it. He was just so good.
Yeah. So shout out to you, David Marshall Grant.
Sorry, Gail's OBGYN. You're out.
You're out.
Go back to dinner with your husband. You didn't get guest cast shout out.
Music vomit.
Family Circus. I don't know what scene it plays over, but I had that song on repeat.
It's so good. It plays over Joey going to Gretchen.
Is it Micah Green?
Green. Mm-hmm. It's such a good song. I didn't even really realize it feels timeless to me.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't feel dated at all.
I thought it was newer. Yeah. Even though I have memories of listening to it then. When I put it on, I was like, wow, I can't believe that this was in this episode.
Yeah, he had a few really good songs that I think were on WB shows, maybe Dawson specifically, but I had two or three of his songs in my like mixed CD catalog rotation.
Well, I'm putting Family Circus back into my current playlist. It's
yeah,
so
it could
good.
Totally go on your current playlist, is your point.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to go on your, I have one called Time Warp, which is like a lot of these dated, but it doesn't have to go on Time Warp. It can go on Hot Jams with a Z, which is what my current playlist is called.
Put it in Hot Jams. Also, there was a Joan Baez cover of Forever Young, which was pretty good.
Did that play at the end when at the birth?
Both. It played over the baby shower and then over the birth.
The naming shower.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The naming shower. You know, that classic milestone.
What about past versus
past
present?
Past versus present. I don't know if I have anything. Do you?
It's in my memory. I kind of conflate late with the episode where she gets the check, the tuition check. In my memory, she like knew she was pregnant when she's like accepting the check. I was conflating the secret of her having sex with Pacey and the possibility that she might be pregnant. So these episodes must have kind of jumbled together in my brain. But Joey, I mean, she seems upset, but in my memory, she was like beside herself and she was like kind of fine. Like she really
did. Yeah.
She really was.
She was teary-eyed, but
it's funny. I would have gone a little deeper with Joey's feelings for Bessie. It got into a place where she was judging Bessie instead of saying, you know, Bessie's life's choices define Joey's life in a way. Do you get what I'm saying? She's had to raise Alexander as well. It was interesting.
Sure.
It was interesting. It just didn't go as deep with Joey as I thought it did in my memory or as I think it should have. It almost is like Joey was like the C story or something.
Yeah. Well, to your point about how the scenes were so short and they crammed so much in, like it felt like they could have made more of a meal out of each of these things. There was a hate crime. There was a baby born. There was a pregnancy scare. Like, and even the Dawson Gretchen stuff, like it wasn't small stuff. They're talking about these huge relationship issues, like moving apart from one another, they could have made this two separate episodes and had more strongly defined.
You kind of just got to the root of what I was trying to say. Gretchen and Dawson seemed like the A story of this week. And in my mind, Joey being pregnant, possibly pregnant, being late was so much bigger in my memory. She didn't take it the way that like you'd think Joey would take it. I thought she would be like, you know, my sister had a baby, it ruined her life, or, you know, it defined our lives, we don't have money, you know, our reputation around town was like she got pregnant by her boyfriend and she's not married. And
totally,
she was just very mature about it and matter of fact, and I just thought it would have gone a different way based on a teen pregnancy defining so much of her home life. Like, I thought Joey would have spiraled out a little more.
And especially how she's reacted to other less serious things in the past.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. I agree.
But it's also wild that she thought she was pregnant, but then didn't take a test for a day or two. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, should we crack it open?
Yeah, let's crack it open. Gail thinks she's in labor. It also doesn't strike me as something that Gail would be doing. Gail's been very hormonal and very uptight, this pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So her and Mitch going out to dinner this late, really, I was like, really? Gail's on board with this date night?
She's 2 weeks overdue. Now, do they let people get 2 weeks overdue nowadays?
Not at her age. Not at most people's age.
Right, because I know a few people who, if they're a few days past their due date, they would induce or something, but maybe there has been advancements.
Yeah,
maybe induction then was like risque, but last resort.
Yeah,
and now it's, we'll just induce anybody at any time.
I know now over 35, they're like, get that baby out of there. 35 years old.
Well, that's true. I guess I've only known people who have had babies 35 and up.
So normal now. And they're acting like Gail's a dinosaur in there. They're like, well, at your advanced age, anything could happen.
It is pretty wild because like when Dawson's holding the baby at the end, all I could think about is like, Dawson's 18 years older than this baby. That's wild.
That is wild. That is wild.
I did have an aunt who was 18 years older than my youngest uncle, but there was six of them. So they had one every few years.
Right.
Well, Gretchen is not in labor. She has Braxton Hicks.
Gail. Gretchen is certainly not in labor.
Oh my God. It's so funny. When I'm doing the recaps, all I want to say is Gail when I say Gretchen and Gretchen when I say Gail.
It's those G's.
It's those G's, honey.
They'll get you every time.
Gail is not giving birth. She has Braxton Hicks.
She has Braxton Hicks. And there's such an awkward moment between Gretchen and Dawson at the door before the main title comes on. I hate it.
Why?
I don't know. They're just like standing there and they're like, well, there goes our night. And they're just like, hee hee. And they like have this little excited laughter and she kind of like pokes him. I'd hate it.
Oh, yes, I see what you're saying. It feels like an inside joke. It feels like they couldn't get the take right or something.
Yes, and they were like, just trying to get out of here. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It feels like they kept laughing and there were a lot of previous takes.
Yes.
Because James has a smile. He's trying to not laugh the whole time.
The doctor tells Gail that she should go back to dinner with her husband and
she's gonna do the same.
She says that she's only 1 centimeter dilated and Gail says, are you sure you're using the right ruler? There's the Gail we know and love.
Now wait, okay, so this always happened on like 90s TV shows and movies, like we're in labor, call the doctor. Does that still happen, like, or do you just get any doctor?
No, yeah, you're supposed to get your doctor, but I don't know if you call them. I guess you do, or you...
But like, what if it's not your doctor's, like, shift? They come in? That's crazy.
Sometimes they come in, and sometimes you get another doctor, and people get very upset when it's another doctor.
Good thing I'm not an OBGYN, because if it's not my shift, I'm not coming in.
Oh, sorry, my phone was on silent. I missed your call.
Like, what if they're home and they're like having a drink? They can't go in and like deliver a baby under the influence.
It's true.
She was like, if you know your baby's name, just say it, and that'll help induce it. Like, what?
She's like, I'm going to write you a prescription and you should go home. And the prescription is to name your baby.
It's not like the baby knows its name.
They don't even know what they're having. Come out, little Mitch or
Sam,
whatever your name
is. Gender neutral name.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the premise. We need to name this damn baby.
Name this damn baby.
Okay, so now we go Toby.
Hobie's back. Jack is still on his tutoring grind with Will, who's just trying to graduate the fourth grade. And Jack is late. I get it. Sometimes it's hard to be on time.
And I didn't even notice until you pointed out everyone is late in this episode. I got that Joey and Gail were late, but you pointed out that Jack was late. Everyone's late.
Jack is late.
All I could look at during the scene was the goddamn Melissa Etheridge poster in the background that says read. What does Melissa Etheridge have to do with reading?
That's so funny. I didn't notice.
That's crazy. How do you not notice Melissa Etheridge?
I remember those read posters, though. Everyone was on those read posters.
I remember it being like cats.
I remember one with Magic Johnson.
Oh.
I think it hung up in my cousin's room. I think that's why I remember that one.
Your cousin? That's there's a lot to unpack there.
Why?
They had a read poster in their room?
I think because they liked Magic Johnson, not because
they liked reading.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Jack and Toby are tutoring this kid. Whatever. The point is things are thawing between Jack and Cody. Toby. Things are thawing between Jack and Toby.
Toby, Tony, Cody, whatever his name is. Get him out of here. I cannot care
any less about Toby. In case that is not crystal clear.
Oh, God.
You just want it to be over.
Well, it's not over, okay?
So Bessie has the biggest onesie I've ever seen.
I know. She's like, well, first she is giving Joey no grace. She's like, Joey, you're a psychopath. Leave your boyfriend alone. Why are you calling him so much?
You're being a neurotic stalker.
And then she's like, I got the cutest little onesie at the market. Help me wrap it. And she holds up a giant plain orange onesie. Bessie, you're really something, sweetheart. Good for you, sweetie.
Bessie's like, leave him alone. He's on a fishing trip with his brother. Or is he? We'll find out. Spoiler alert, he's not.
Spoiler alert, he's a big fat liar.
So Dawson comes in with his pizza, which made me want pizza.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I'm on a diet, so I couldn't have it.
Doesn't take much to make me want pizza.
So he's like, hey, my mom's naming shower is tomorrow. And she's like, okay, I can come, but good thing it's not the next day because I'm going to Boston. And he's like, Boston? What's in Boston? And she's like, a job interview, of course. I have an interview to be an assistant lifestyles editor.
Yeah, she didn't even tell him she was applying for a job. He made up a naming shower.
Also, I said contributor in the recap, but it is redacted. It's editor.
Thank you.
Gotta love this girl who dropped out of college, has no experience.
Not a lick.
She should have been a contributor, but no, it's to be an editor. And she's like, they're just going to pay me to like go around and like eat food and see concerts.
Go to concerts. What could be better?
And he's like, I'm going to California next year. And she's like, well, this is why I'm like looking into Boston. And he's like, we almost had sex the other night. And now it's like we're breaking up.
He's like, well, how do you feel about long distance relationships? Or maybe she asks that. And they're like, one of us could join the other. And she's like, I'll never ask you to come to Boston. And he's like, well, I could never ask you to come to California. They're a mess.
But I liked how practical they were. I thought that was refreshing. Like, they both know this is going nowhere. But
yeah,
it's so unlike him to just throw caution to the wind and kind of live in the moment and invest in something that doesn't have a future.
Season four, Dawson.
His growth.
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 Then we're back with Toby and Jack, and Toby is giving Jack a little gruff.
I think guff, because gruff is like
gruff.
Something different. Is Toby wearing a Thundercats shirt? Oh my God. That's probably why he got attacked. Probably doesn't have anything to do with him being gay.
They catch the guys and they're like, you committed a hate crime. And they're like, what are you talking about?
We just didn't like his Thundercats shirt.
Well, Jack tells Toby that he should take off early because Jack showed up late. And Toby goes to the bus stop and says, cold night, buses are running late, to a guy. And that sets him off.
He's like, beautiful night. Eh? And the guy's like, gay, I could tell already. Now, this is why you don't talk to strangers. This is why I have headphones on constantly. And even if I hear someone say something to me, I pretend like I can't hear them. I won't talk to strangers.
That's interesting. I will talk to strangers, but I don't know.
And not only will I not talk to strangers, I get annoyed when people I'm with talk to strangers.
Don't like, look at them.
Like in Ubers, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. And if the person that I'm with talks to the Uber driver, I get mad. And then I yell at them when we get out of the Uber. Beth.
And that is why you told producer Beth to move out of Los Angeles. You could not stand taking Ubers with her.
My partner, too, just like loves to talk to strangers. And it's just not my vibe.
Mm. What if the Uber driver's talking to you? You just go,
I'll be pleasant. But like, I don't want to do a discussion the whole ride. Like pleasantries. Oh, my God. You know, how's the drive today? Good. OK. You know, I don't want to do a whole. What do you do? I do this. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, I know their whole history by the time they're dropping me off at home.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Not so much anymore, but when Uber first started, oh man, I knew everything. And they knew everything about me.
I remember everything. like when I go out to dinner and like it's at, I just don't want to.
I get it.
Call me Dawson because I don't want to invest. I don't want to make casual, if it's not going anywhere, I'm not rude, but I just don't want to engage. Where is this going? Are we going to be best friends? No.
Well, recently I have been more in your camp just of like, I'd rather put on my headphones and be in my own world in my own space. And the last time I was going to LA recently, I got picked up by a car and it was the worst driver I've ever experienced. He was swerving in and out of lanes, speeding up into brake lights, whatever. And I got so car sick. I was ready to puke. And then at that moment, he started to strike up a conversation with me and was asking me what I did, who I worked for, why I was going to LA. And I was like, I'm feeling really nauseous. And he looked back at me and his eyes were like saucers. He was like, roll down the window, roll down the window. I was like, okay, thank you. Thanks, sir. Didn't puke, though, so that was good. Anyway.
Toby talked to strangers and he's paying the price. I don't know what to tell you.
So, cautionary tale. Keep it to yourself.
Joey shows up to Gretchen's and she's like, where's Pacey? And she's like, look, he's on a fishing trip. Gretchen, terrible liar. Joey knows immediately. What's going on? Where is he?
And Gretchen is like, I will not lie anymore.
Pacey got arrested for being drunk when you were in New York. Doug dropped the charges, but now they're on a camping trip. Now, here's the thing. The truth and the lie are too similar.
So close.
What is the point? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It should have been like, he's not with Doug. He's at like a boot camp or something. Not that, but like...
He's in prison.
But Doug shouldn't even be there. Doug, what's the difference if you went on a fishing trip or a camping trip?
Right.
Who cares?
No, I'm with you. Like, he's not this because we know that it's not true, but like he's visiting a college or he's like doing something.
Well, it has to do with like his punishment or like maybe he had to spend like 24 hours in jail. I don't know. Or he had to, whatever it is. Do you know what I mean?
The reality. Yeah.
Or you're saying the lie should be that he went to see a college.
Yes. It's good. Very weird. It's very weird. He's basically on a fishing trip.
Yeah. What's the difference?
I don't know. I guess just the fact that it's a lie, but it's a weird lie. There's no reason to lie.
And Gretchen's like, look, you need to stop putting pressure on Pacey, okay? And Joey's like, can't do it.
And Gretchen's can't like, promise. How could you be so selfish?
You selfish bitch. And she's like, look, I'm pregnant, okay? I'm late.
And Gretchen's like, oh, Joey, I had no idea. Yeah, no shit, Gretch.
And Gretchen is immediately sympathetic. Of course, we know because she was once late.
She was very late. She was fully preggo.
One might say pregnant even. I actually love when these two fight. They're really good scene partners.
Really?
You don't think so?
No, I think they're fine. I don't think they're standout, though. I think Gretchen's... I've always said that I really like that Gretchen's very mature and like very even keeled. But in scenes like this, it just comes across phony to me when she's like, how could you be so selfish? I don't know. Something about
it. Well, I just like that she's dating her brother, but she's dating her ex. Like there's something so...
Yes. Yeah. Like, sure.
Juicy the about dynamic. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There is. There's a lot under the surface.
The thing about Gretchen is she has implied shared history with everybody, which I really like as well.
True.
Because she's a widder.
She's a widder, baby. And she tells Joey, come back anytime. Literally If you need anything, just come back.
And then we're at the naming shower.
Grams is loose. Grams is having the time of her life at this shower. She's like, asking girls not to bring gifts to a shower is like asking birds not to sing. And everybody's scattered and she's like, come on, everyone, let's get it started. I'm like, Grams, who put you in charge?
It's cute that Grams and Jen like match.
Yeah, they're just besties.
Blue and maroon.
They're just little besties.
Dawson's wearing maroon too.
Honestly, almost everyone has a little bit of maroon on them. Or red.
Everyone? Oh my God. Here comes Gretchen with maroon. Mm-hmm. Maroon 4. I'm just obsessed with Dawson's hair in season 4.
He's doing great stuff. He's doing great work. Grams kicks the men out. Tradition is very clear on the matter. Men are not allowed.
At the naming ceremony. The naming shower.
Oh, also, I don't know when it happens. I wrote it down, but I'm not sure in what scene it happens. Gretchen says to Dawson that the only real job interview she's ever had was with Gail. Well, you're doomed, honey, because Gail's interview was, can you start tomorrow? Wasn't that like the whole interview for the bartending job? Why aren't you in school? Are you going back? Can you start tomorrow?
Mitch looking like a snack.
As always.
This outfit could translate to 2025.
Yeah. He says, let's get out of here before the vagina monologues start.
That was wild. Do you know what else was wild? In the cold open when they were talking about how fat Gail was.
Yeah. They said she has a 65-inch waist and it takes her longer to get ready because there's more of her to dress.
The 90s were wild. Well, 2001 was wild. And Grams is doing that thing that I remember my mom and everyone used to do with the necklace over the belly. Although some people do it over the wrist. Did you? Anyone ever do that in your family?
Did that happen yet? No, wait. We skipped a scene. Quick scene. Quick scene before that.
Why do you always want to do Jack and Toby scenes?
This is important. Jack, again, shows up late to tutoring, and it's mayhem because Toby isn't there. And he's like, Will, have you heard from Toby? Like, what? Toby's going to call Will on his bat phone, cell phone. So Jack doesn't know what's happening. Kids are throwing papers everywhere.
It's chaos.
It is chaos. And then, yes, Grams is doing the string trick. The ultrasound of medieval times. What does she say? The Middle Ages.
Not medieval times.
Dawson and Mitch are sitting in a little treehouse. Mitch gives Dawson a cigar and Dawson calls it a stogie because he's a freak.
The cigars are from Mr. Kasdan. I love that.
Cute.
They're talking about how the baby bonds instantly with the mother and the baby bonds later with the dad. So there's a cute little reference to the moment that Dawson and Mitch bonded. And Mitch is like, I think the fact that your mom and I haven't decided on a baby means that like neither of us is ready for what's coming. And Dawson's like, you'll know. You're ready. It's cute.
Mitch is like, you're pretty smart, Dawson. Also, to jump back to the previous scene real quick, they all give names to Gail, all of the women. And I really liked that Gretchen said Isabella, because that's the story that she told to her nieces and nephews at the Witter house for Pacey's birthday party. She told them the story about Isabella. And in this scene, she says, I like the name Isabella because it's in a story my grandma always used to tell me. Nice little callback.
That is a nice little callback. So the names are Jackson.
Sophie.
Kurt.
Isabella.
Rose.
Satchel.
Thomas. After a boy I knew a long time ago.
Culpepper. Thomas Culpepper. Died on the shores of Busan.
A lot of callbacks.
Callbacks.
Whatever. Mitch and Dawson talk about Gretchen. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
You know. You get it.
And then Bessie describes in detail her mother's birth and how she was like, Josephine, come out. And the details are too much for Joey.
She runs in the house. I understand why you were conflating this episode with that other episode, because there's a lot of similarities. Joey getting upset randomly. In the previous episode, it was at her house in the yard, but she gets emotional and runs in the house. In this episode, she's at Dawson's house, but she gets emotional and she runs in the house. Like, she's on a similar trajectory.
Do you think the reason the scenes are so short, it's because like we had Michelle, they obviously had Michelle for like one day of filming, and they only had Josh for like one day of filming, and they had to just fill in scenes with everybody else, I guess?
Could be. But I feel like they could have made enough of a meal out of, maybe that's too much Dawson. I was going to say out of Gail, Mitch, baby, Dawson, Gretchen.
Mm-hmm.
or Gail Mitch baby Jack Toby. They could have made, it's just too much. It's like how The Dark Knight should have been two movies to me.
This episode just had too much material, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't really give the gravitas or the real estate to Joey's pregnancy and the gay bashing. Maybe the thing that doesn't fit is Gretchen's job. Like, maybe we didn't need that. It could have just been Dawson going to California. Yeah.
The tension has been there of them trying to figure out next steps for their relationship. They could have put, even if they wanted to do the Boston thing, they could have done it in a later episode. But what do I know?
For sure. Well, Jack goes to Toby's. He refuses to answer the door.
Says he has the flu.
He says he has the flu.
And Jack says, great.
And Jack's like,
I just had the flu.
And he's like, it's a new strain.
He didn't have this one. It's something different. And he makes him open the door and he is on crutches with a black eye.
So sad.
I love Toby's porch, though.
I like Toby's house.
Porch swing, rockers. Really nice.
And he lies and he says he was mugged. Jack's like, did you report it? Toby says, no, it's not worth it. They only took a couple of bucks.
Jack's not buying it. Joey ran into the house upset and Bessie is not letting it happen. She's like, look, you're crazy. If I didn't know you weren't having sex, I would think. And Joey turns her head and Bessie's like, oh God, you're pregnant, aren't you?
You are having sex and you're pregnant.
Are you pregnant?
Joey's like, what? No, you're crazy. You're crazy, girl.
No, girl. What? Not me.
And Joey's being so rude to Bessie. And Bessie's like, you better stop being rude to me because you're going to need my support with this. And Joey's like, your support? I don't think so. You're a train wreck. And Bessie's like, how dare you?
How dare you? And in that moment, Gail says, get my jacket. It's happening again. We got to go to the hospital for real this time.
But guess what? It's not for real this time.
It's not. Another false alarm. There's so many times in this episode where they're picking up that hospital bag and it's so clearly empty. They're just like winging it around.
It's so funny that Jen is knitting or crocheting.
Knitting. Knitting is two.
Oh.
Crochet is one hook.
Oh.
I know how to do both. Okay.
Mm. And Jack confides in Jen how he knows, you know, something happened to Toby. He's not getting the truth when Toby refuses to report it. And Jen's like, well, report it for him or like, go make it happen. And Jack doesn't want to. And Jen's like, what would you do if it was me? Jack's like, that's different.
I like you.
I care about you. It's so funny in the rewatch, like how Jack doesn't care about Toby at all. Like, it's so clear.
Yeah. Do you think that him insisting on this is just because it's the right thing to do? Do you think it's because he feels personally invested, like, oh, it could have been me? Do you think, like, what do you think his motivation is to push Toby so hard on it?
I believe what he says at the end, which is like, you know, someday I am going to be ready to be publicly gay and do all of these things. And I don't want to be, you know, bashed for and attacked. So it's funny because Jack was so into Ethan and now it feels like Toby's so into Jack, but it does not feel like Jack's into Toby at all. And if it just feels like a good reversal, you know?
Sure.
But it's hard for me to invest much because I don't think Jack is investing much.
He isn't. And Toby's really annoying.
Well, I love this hospital. I think it's so cute. I do. I really like the set.
Is it because there's always old people walking around embracing in the background?
Maybe. I don't know. It just seems like such a welcoming, warm hospital.
It does. It's a very small town.
Yeah.
It's got a good cottage core, homey feel.
It's bustling. It does give kind of like health center vibes instead of like a hospital, but.
Well, it's real night and day with the pit, which we could talk about later.
Dawson decides to get in with Gretchen and he's like, why did you stop me from having sex the other night on the beach when we were stuck in that town? And she's like, why would I have sex with you and deepen everything if we're just going to go our own ways?
Why are we going to get closer? It's just going to make things harder.
You're going to be in LA. I'm going to Boston. What are we doing? And then he's like, did you just apply for the job because I'm going to California? And she basically says yes. She's like, you're leaving.
What am I supposed to do?
Just go to California. Girl, what are you doing? You're not doing anything.
And again, they're interrupted by Mitch saying, another false alarm. We got to get out of here. Joey shows up at Gretchen's door. Takes her up on the offer, says she didn't know where else to go. It's so crazy to me that, and I feel like this is true for my childhood,
maybe not with my friends so much, but with my parents' friends, people were always just stopping over. Like Jack just showed up at Toby's house. Joey, obviously it's her boyfriend's house, but her boyfriend's not there. She's showing up to Gretchen's house. Like people don't stop over anymore.
I know. And it just as a writer's point of view, that is very true, but it's just, it's hard because you can't start every scene with like, oh, hey, I got your text. What's up? Do you know what I mean?
Say more.
Being like, sorry, I'm late. Or like, you know, oh, I got your text. What's up? You sounded so upset. Or you sounded so upset on the phone. Like none of these things happen. But it's like you have to get the two characters together somehow.
Yeah.
In normal life, you would be like, hey, I'm really upset. I just got fired. Can you meet up for drinks or, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just one of those devices where they need characters together. So.
But I do think it was realistic. 25 years ago, it was happening more. Maybe amongst adults and not amongst teenagers. But
I would sometimes ring my neighbor's doorbell and be like, you know, is so-and-so home?
For sure. Well, like even going door to door for like fundraisers and stuff. Like I was a Girl Scout. I sold Girl Scout cookies. We literally go to door to door. And now it's all online.
Yeah. But I never went over friends' houses being like, are they home? You know, if they didn't live near me. Do you know what I mean? I never like drove to a friend's house without knowing they were home.
Yeah, no, me neither.
It's a hard thing because you can't really let modern technology kind of dictate. It's hard because there's nothing fun about watching people be like, oh, I got your IM. What's up? Yeah, like it's weird. It's just one of those things.
The show that I'm working on now and my previous show both heavily featured apps and like phone technology, and people are complaining nonstop about that. Like nobody wants to watch someone texting on a phone, and there's so many ways people go around it. Like they'll put the text on the screen, or you'll hear what they're typing or whatever, but it's all very clunky still. Like nobody's really mastered that yet, I don't think.
Yeah, and it's not interesting to watch. It's almost like that's when things are set in the 90s. I like that because I don't know, it's just too much.
Yeah,
it's like you get that's the reality, but you don't want to watch that.
Yeah,
literally phones eliminate a reason for any show pretty much happening. Yeah, like Succession, I don't know, like all those business discussions, aren't they all done like
on the phone,
over
email,
over whatever. Yeah, but how fun is that to watch anyway?
Yeah,
it's one of those things. Yes, they could have had Joey, you know, well, this would be the earlier scene. They could have had Joey call Gretchen's house and be like, oh, is Pacey there? No. Oh, okay. You know, it's weird. It's just one of those weird things. Like you said, I don't think anyone's really mastered how to get around it, but
anyone figures it out, let us know. So Joey goes to Gretchen. Joey learns that Gretchen has this interview in Boston. Joey tells Gretchen that she's feeling crazy. And she's like, can you imagine Pacey with a kid? And Gretchen's like, honestly, yeah, like Pacey's great with kids. He's attentive to women. The problem with Pacey is that he can't deal with Pacey, which is a theme in this whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gretchen's like, have you told Bessie? Because you're going to need her. Joey says, yeah, I told her her life disgusts me. And she figured it out.
And then Gretchen reveals her secret to Joey.
Finally.
Well, Joey kind of guesses it. She's like, it sounds like you're speaking from experience. And Gretchen says, yeah, I was pregnant last year. I miscarried. And that's why I'm here, to figure out my life.
And Gretchen is opening up to Joey a little bit about not really knowing what's going on with Dawson. And Joey says, you know, Dawson would lasso the moon for you, right? It's a cute little moment. She's like, don't shut him out. Cherish him. And no matter what happens, don't forget him. I feel like they don't avoid the topic of Dawson, the two of them. But like you said earlier, like there's always that subtext between them, I feel like. And it's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Joey.
I really like the relationship.
Yeah. We go back to Dawson's house and they have a TiVo. Those noises were very nostalgic to me. Did you notice?
Yeah. They're deleting movies.
Yeah.
A TiVo always reminds me of Sex and the City when Miranda was like, I traded Steve-O for TiVo.
And then Gail's like, for real this time, we have to go. And Mish is like, why don't we just like wait it out a little bit? And she's like, I'm ready. And she turns into Hulk mode and pulls him by the ear.
And then we go to Toby's and Jack has shown up with Officer Sullivan.
The star
of the whole episode. Toby still doesn't want to put it on record, but Officer Sullivan convinces him.
He's like, look,
gay people are much more at a way higher risk than straight people to be attacked, you know, and
not everyone has the chance to
report it.
Report it.
Or have the friends that support them. Meaningful glance between Toby and Jack. Then Toby's like, okay, let's do it. But like,
it's really sad.
They're not going to get the guys, do you think? I don't know. It's Cape Side, maybe.
No, I don't think they will. But he runs through the whole thing with them, says how it went down. And then at the end, he says, all I did was smile at them. It's really sad.
I know. It's awful.
Yeah.
I got into a little incident the other day. I was sitting in my car outside Starbucks, and then this guy hit my car with his car door, like really hard. The car shook. I didn't really know what was happening. And then I realized what was. And then I got out, and the guy gave me the finger and drove away. And I took pictures of his license plate. And I looked at my car door. There's a scratch on it. It's visible, but like, you know, I live in a big city, so I have scratches on my front bumper, my back bumper. Scratches don't really bother me, but I am leasing my car, so I'm going to be responsible for all these scratches eventually. But
yeah.
I was more mad about he gave me the finger, and like, because I've hit people's cars when I get out, you know, if it's a tight spot or whatever, and I always say sorry. That the fact that he gave me the finger and was so like unapologetic for it was what was really bothering me. So of course, like, I call the non-emergency line. It takes me probably like 45 minutes to get through to somebody, and they were like, try the online police report. So I fill out the online police report. The next day it gets kicked back, and they're like, oh, this wasn't the right police report. You should have filled out. You need to fill out a vandalism one. So then I fill out the vandalism one, and they sent it back because I didn't fill in something correctly. Oh, under like person's vehicle, I was supposed to enter my information, and I submitted theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did that. And then for the other person's vehicle, I just put in the pictures under like attachments, and then they kicked it back to me again. And they were like, you didn't add their information in the right section. And then finally I was just like,
who cares?
Yeah. It was like a week after by that point. And I think the whole point of filling out a police report is that your insurance company can cover the cost of the scratch. But like at that point I was just like, I'm probably not even gonna get the scratch fixed.
They don't make it easy.
I'm kind of on team Toby, like, don't even bother.
When I lived in LA, I had to go a couple times to fill out police reports, and it's a nightmare. I like physically went to the police station. Awful. Awful, I tell you.
One of my partner's neighbors, they live in a different country half the time. They come here for summer, and they called us one. It was in the winter, because I know they're not here during the winter. They called us and they were like, there's someone in our house. And we ran across the street and we saw two people leaving their house. They saw it through Ring cameras, of course. And then I got in the car and chased them, which, like, looking back was so, like, they could have had a gun. God knows. Like, God knows what I was thinking. But I eventually lost them. They were on foot. I was in a car. And we called the cops. The cops must have come 2 hours later, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what? I don't understand the point of any of it.
I think I've said it before on the podcast, but I got rear-ended in LA and a cop was watching and drove away. I was like, great. It was at a light. I was making a left and the person behind me wasn't paying attention, just rammed right into me. And the cop was at the other side of the light, like going across the street, watched the whole thing and just drove away. I was like, okay, great. Thank you, Los Angeles.
I had the funniest thing happen to me today. I went spinning. I went to SoulCycle in Brentwood. Then I went to the Starbucks in Brentwood to get my coffee. And then I got my coffee and I kind of sat in my car at a meter, just like on my phone, like on TikTok, whatever. And like this meter maid came up to me and like knocked and was like, you know, you can't sit here. You need to like put money in the meter. You need to leave, you know, because I can give you a ticket even if you're just sitting here. And I was like, okay, no problem. I'll leave. And then on the way home, I was like, oh, I should order a sweet green for later. So I ordered a sweet green to Westwood. So just like a mile east or whatever. And so I'm in Westwood now, maybe 2 miles east, and there's nowhere to park. So I illegally park outside the sweet green. At a red curb, which means you can't park there. And I go in, and you know Sweetgreen has like the to-go racks?
Yeah.
My order wasn't there, which that's the new thing. They have to-go racks, but like you still need to ask for the to-go orders.
It's so dumb.
I don't know if people are stealing them or whatever. I mean, I guess they get
stolen, yeah.
And while I'm waiting there, the meter maid walks in from Brentwood, the girl, same girl. And she's like, is that you parked outside? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I'll move. Like, and I looked and she hadn't given me a ticket yet. And she was like, it's okay, get your food, it's fine. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh.
I was like, what are the chances that I saw you in Brentwood and in Westwood? And she both times she was just like, you're good. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have given me two tickets and I got none, which is wild.
That's great.
Which
I have not had that luck.
Doesn't happen to me. Yeah, no, I don't have that luck either.
That's awesome. That's really funny.
I get a lot of parking tickets. Like over my 18 years here, I've gotten a lot of parking tickets.
She was like, she looked at your car and she was like, this guy.
Effing Honda again. Well, anyway, Toby, don't even fill it out.
The cop's just going to write it up and then leave it on the floor of his car, throw it in the trash. Who knows?
I mean, maybe Officer Sullivan is different, but
the one time I went to fill out the police report because my phone got stolen at a bar, and I was like, I just need it on record in case, I don't know, I didn't know what I thought was going to happen, but I was like, I feel like I need to fill out a police report. So I filled out the police report, and as I was standing there saying my thing, a girl and her mom were next to me, and they were creating a police report about how she was being stalked and sexually harassed and outlining like all of these details. This was in the Hollywood police station, and as she was talking, I was like, it's really not that important that my phone got stolen. It's really fine. Like, everything's okay.
You're like, I'm just going to go.
Yeah, I'm good, actually. The cop was making her detail like these really gruesome, terrible things that this person was saying to her. And I was like, oh.
I do remember this story now. I remember it now that you say that, because I remember you were texting us during that.
Yeah, like live texting you what she was saying. It was wild.
That is crazy. I do remember that now.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Netflix show, My High School Catfish, we'll do it. We'll talk about it.
Oh, we'll talk about it.
And what you're watching, but put a pin in it.
Yes. Put a pin in it so we can talk about the birth of a baby.
Mitch watching the doctors and nurses whispering was so like real and triggering to me, because when I was in the hospital with, you know, my mom, whenever, yeah, like that is very real. That is very real. I mean, in Mitch's case, I don't think anything was happening, but
yeah,
there right. were a few yeah, times yeah. when like you'd catch them whispering and it's like, oh my God. I thought that was very relatable and realistic and well done, that mention.
Way to go, Jeff Stepakoff.
Yeah, boy.
Joey comes home and finds Bessie sitting up at the kitchen table all by herself. And she's like, you're awake? And Bessie's like, I get up at dawn every morning. It's the only time I have to myself.
You know that I love Bessie. But there's something about this episode that just doesn't, it feels like these were like rewrites, or it was supposed to be Pacey and Josh and it couldn't be. I don't know. There's something weird. Something weird about this Bessie Joey storyline. Yes. I may have a new nose, but I can always smell a rat.
Yeah. It's
there's something weird.
Not fully fleshed.
I don't think it's bad. I love Bessie and I like this, but there's something like half baked about it.
Yeah. 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 To your earlier point, they could have gone so much deeper. There's so many. We talk so much about Bessie and how she was pregnant and how it's had an impact on their family. Like the parallels are there and they didn't dive into them really yeah. all that deep.
And then Bessie's like, girl, I got you. I got you a pregnancy test.
Also, the last time we saw Bessie, her hair was like blonde and now it's brown. Bessie's a free spirit though. She does whatever she wants, I guess.
Oh yeah. She's one of those girls. She leaves the salon. It's different every time.
Yeah. But yeah, she bought her a pregnancy test. She's like, look, do you know that I climbed into your crib and pushed you out? Here's a pregnancy test.
And now Jack is dragging Toby to...
He's like, you're not going to be sulking in the house.
Jack just doesn't care about Toby's consent at all this episode. No. He's just like, I don't care what you want. I'm going to make you do whatever I want.
He's like, come on. And he's like, I can't go. I'm not presentable. And he's like, well, tell them you fell off your skateboard. And Toby's like, they're children, not idiots. And he goes, fine, we'll tell them you fell off your high horse. I thought that was really funny.
That was funny. Good on Jack.
But it does feel like he's softening to Toby in this moment, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, this is the softening episode.
The great softening.
Yeah, the thawing. Joey sees one line and she's living.
Oh, God, the relief. Been there, honey. Not in high school, but...
Oh.
Grams and Jen and Bessie and Joey show up at the hospital. And Dawson's like, yeah, I'm starting to think that this is not going well. The baby is not here yet.
I didn't pick up on this at all. Like, I mean, I did. But if we were supposed to think that Gail... I mean, I know the outcome. But even watching it back then, I don't think I ever thought that Gail's baby was in danger. I just never... It didn't work for me. The doctors are rushing in. Oh my God.
Too much happening in this episode.
Yeah, you're right.
It's too much. It's so much crammed in.
You said it. What more is there to say?
What more is there to say?
Well, Joey is saying, look, even if you have sex, it doesn't matter. Sex sucks.
She's like, sex doesn't bring people closer together. It's a magnifying glass. If you're close, you'll get closer. If you're not, you won't.
Poor Dawson. He just wants someone to have sex with him. No one will have sex with him.
That is Dawson's Creek.
No one will have sex with this poor guy.
I really liked that he said, a couple weeks ago, I was wandering these halls hoping someone would die. And now I'm wandering these halls hoping someone will be born. Just felt really Dawson to me. I liked that.
So poetic. And Gail had a baby, and it's a girl.
It's a girl. And you know what? Gail looks exactly like Gail always looks. She doesn't look like she's been laboring all night and all day. She has perfect hair, looks perfect.
She's a reporter. She was.
She must have had a glam team standing by.
And they're like, we called her name, Lillian, Lillian, everyone's waiting to meet you. So cute.
It is cute. But again, like, I feel like that could have landed harder with Joey and Bessie. Like, everything in this episode just feels like a little bit rushed.
Yeah. They didn't go deep enough for me on anything, really.
And the baby is very tan with very dark hair. I can't throw stones because that's what I looked like when I was a baby, and I do not look like that now, but it does not look like a member of their family.
Well, yeah, you know, babies are...
Babies are babies.
I feel like they change so quickly.
They do.
Well, it's very touching.
Super sweet.
And then Joey calls Pacey, and then we see Joshua Jackson.
We see him for the only 30 seconds of the episode.
And she's like, where are you? And he says, I'm on a fishing trip. And she is mortified at his lie.
And he goes into detail about the fish he caught this morning. Like, it's not just like
right.
He's really trying to spell the lie. And he says, what's wrong? Gretchen said I had to call you right away. And she's like, nothing, don't worry about it. There's a rift between them. It's growing.
But why is it nighttime where he is and why is it daytime where she is? Did he switch coasts? That doesn't even make sense because then he would have to be on the East Coast and she would have to be on the West Coast. It doesn't make sense. Pacey. Doug is taking Pacey to an alternate reality.
That's really funny.
I just don't understand.
I don't know.
I was like, where is he? He's lying. He's in Europe. Doug has taken Pacey to France.
Oh my God. Pacey's in Paris. That's why you can't tell Joey. That's her dream.
Because she'd be so mad.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a good question.
And then Dawson rolls up.
Wait. Before you move on, it always cracks me up. This happens all the time on TV. Whatever. It's whatever. But Joey just hangs up the phone. They don't finish their conversation. Bye. They don't say goodbye. They don't do anything. He's like, they're just talking and she just hangs up. That always cracks me up when that happens.
That always bothers me. And that's something I always put in, like, hello, hi, bop, 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 like the pleasantries that everyone does on the phone.
Yeah.
And it's always the first thing that gets like cut by bosses and things. And I don't understand. Like, I do understand it's stage weight. Who wants to? But like, that's real. I don't know what to say. Yeah. Like, there's no way around it. But to your point, like, no one just hangs up the phone.
No. Like, I wanted them to cut back to Pacey and him and be like, hello, are you there?
It's wild.
But yes, then we go back to Dawson and Gretchen. And this is a really cute scene for me.
Yeah. Dawson drives up in his sexy Jeep.
His hot, sexy Jeep with his hot, sexy hair. And Gretchen with her sexy hair sitting on the top of her car.
She has red jeans.
Good hair, red jeans, good cars.
And she's like, one thing about them trains, there's always another one.
That's a good line.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're prolonging the inevitable. We're living in denial. There's no hope for us. We should break up right now. And then they make out.
I love that for them. But it's almost like, since they're pointing it out, like, will they stay together? You know, like, since they're confronting it out, since the show is confronting it, like, will they stay together? Who knows?
I know.
Well, that's episode 419, late.
That's it.
I think it was like a totally fine episode. But if we're going to pick it apart, I will say it was cool to see Joey and Dawson talk about, like, the stakes are so much higher this season. They talk about that in the hospital. When he talks about, like, Mr. Brooks dying and she obviously is thinking about her pregnancy, she's like, yeah, it does feel like life got, like, really serious all of a sudden. And that's something that, you know, we talked about the stakes being so much higher this year. And look, I love season 4.
It's really great.
Well, what you watching?
I'm watching so many things. But let's talk about the two that we just brought up organically.
Yes.
First, The Pit.
The Pit.
Watching The Pit, we're about halfway through. I don't know where you are. How many episodes have you watched?
I think I'm like one or two past you. Now, we are both very far behind the times on this one. So everyone's probably already watched it.
It's really good.
It's really good. It's just very, I do think it is very dark. I know some people who are like, it's not dark. What? But I think it is very dark. And I don't think I could have watched it before now. I really had to really be ready for it. I really like it. I like that it dropped weekly. I like that it's like they're bringing back like long seasons. It was 15 episodes, I think. And season 2, I think, is coming out shortly, so it's not going to be like a super long wait. You know, they're trying to bring back, I think, the old network TV model.
Network,
Yeah.
It's heavy, but it's not. I was expecting, well, all I've heard from the beginning is how real it is, like from my nurse friends and medical professional friends. Like, I think it's pretty spot on. And so I was worried that it was just going to be like gross and technical, like too over my head, kind
right.
of.
Too technical, right?
But it's not. But it's really not. It is. There are gross moments. I definitely close my eyes a lot. They're very.
It's. I can't watch it while I eat, which is usually when I do most of my watching, but TV watching. But you can't.
I've been turning my head and watching my partner's face react to the medical scenes rather than watching them myself.
The Emmys were a few weeks ago, and it won lead actor, supporting actress, and best show.
Yeah.
This drama.
Yeah. I love him. Noah Wiley. He's so cute. He seems so grounded. I really like him.
It was his first Emmy.
Yeah. Cute.
Yeah.
And
Catherine.
The lead nurse. Yeah. Lanasa.
She's one of those people that you definitely know from over the years, but from what? Who knows?
But she's great in The Pit. I think she's really good. And then I watched Unknown Number, A High School Catfish Story. Is that what it's called? Something like that.
And I have no words. It was truly life-changing.
I think we should talk about it. Like, I think we should do a spoiler alert, skip ahead if you haven't watched, but would recommend watching.
Yeah.
But there's a big reveal in it. And if you haven't watched it, you shouldn't listen to this.
So the premise is that there are two kids who start dating in middle school. I think they're 13, 14 when they start dating.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 years into their relationship, when they're now in high school, they start getting group texts from an unknown number that's harassing and bullying them. It goes on for about 2 years. And the texts escalate in material, shall we say, in content. It escalates with like violence and language. And the basis of them is like, stay away from him. You're garbage.
Break up with him. They're very sexual. It's like talking about what that person's going to do with him, or that what he wants to do. And that the girlfriend can't keep up with his desire, basically. They tell her that she's anorexic, flat ass. She should kill herself. They say multiple times, kill yourself or we'll do it for you. It's very disturbing messages. Highly disturbing.
The girl's name is Lauren. Her boyfriend's name is Owen. And you find out that the four parents all worked together to try to figure out who was doing it. They got the school involved.
The couple ends up breaking up because of the strain of the messages. It's like constant, like hundreds of messages a day.
A few people get framed for it, like literally framed. Yeah. Like when one girl goes to Florida, the numbers come from Florida. So they thought it was this one girl, Chloe, I think her name was. And
then there was a picture sent from his like Christmas morning, and his cousin went to school with them. So they were like, is it the cousin? Like calls coming from inside the house kind of thing.
And then the parents can't sleep because they're afraid their kids are going to, you know, do something to themselves. The kids' mental health was just, I mean, in the gutter because they couldn't sleep. Yeah. They were always checking their phone, paranoid. And then the FBI gets involved and the FBI finds out who the texter is.
And it's her mom.
Kendra.
What?
Who they've been interviewing the whole documentary.
All of the parents and all of the kids are in the documentary. The woman in the documentary is the woman who sent the text messages to her own daughter telling her to kill herself.
Now, I knew it was an adult, but I thought it would end up being a teacher that we hadn't met yet. Because what the documentary is really good at, it will introduce suspects as you go and then like explore that avenue and then kind of tie it up. And then I'm so glad it didn't get spoiled, because since then I've seen a lot of memes that have the mom's face like front and center.
Yeah.
Oh, what a story.
And like every time they would introduce a new suspect, I was like, well, it's obviously not this, but like Chloe, I was like, well, it's obviously not Chloe because Chloe's in the documentary. Like I just write people off if they're just like agreeing to participate.
Mm-hmm.
The mom is so mentally ill. It's wild.
So mentally ill. And they give all these reasons why she gives all these reasons why she did it, which none of them really make sense, but they're all kind of due to like childhood trauma and whatnot. But
and it's really sad because the daughter really can't fathom not having a relationship with her mom. She's like still team Kendra.
Yeah. So I just really can't recommend it enough.
So good. Check it out. Well, I'm guessing if you haven't watched it, you're not listening because we just spoiled the whole thing. But
and then the other thing I'm watching is Overcompensating, which have we talked about? I don't know if we have.
Yeah, we did.
We did. Well, I'm on my third rewatch.
Oh, so. It's so good. And it just got picked up for season 2.
Season 2.
last week.
Well, that's all she wrote for episode 419 late. Next week, we have episode 420 Promicide.
Oh my God. Getting on a boat.
We're getting on a boat. What's our Dawson's drink for episode 420 Promicide?
We will be drinking Prom Night. It is peach schnapps, mezcal, lime juice, and hot honey. Sounds really interesting. Mm. Yeah, it's either going to be great or terrible. We'll find out.
Hot honey can make anything better.
Mm, amen. Well, on a pizza? Mm, mm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. But I don't know about the peach schnapps.
I know. We'll find out. All right. Well, that's it. We'll be back here next week. See you then.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.